Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. And this is where our lives are being changed by the preaching and teaching of the word of God. On this broadcast, we believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't believe in reading our minds into the text, or what some refer to as having preconceived notions. That is, we don't approach the word of God or the Bible with preconceived notions, things in our minds, opinions and interests that we seek to sneak into the scriptures, you know, just to make the Bible say what we want it to say. Yeah, we believe in saying what the Bible says, the way the Bible says them. Hallelujah. So you're going to have a great time today on this broadcast. If you are just joining us, you're welcome once again. Hallelujah. So let's say a word of prayer quickly. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the entrance of the same that brings light and clarity. Thank you because no soul under the sound of this voice will remain the same. Thank you for every confusion we find direction in the name of Jesus. Thank you because our hearts are strengthened, instructed from your word, even to the end that we perform and become doers of the same. In Jesus' name we have prayed, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So this is episode 148, Every Day with Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we'll be studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. In the last episode, I also continued to emphasize the place of being taught the word of God and what to look out for in a ministry gift. What are we to look out for in a ministry gift? I've said we must look out for apostolic doctrine and we must look out for apostolic explanation. Hallelujah. Not just the things they said, but how they said it. Glory to God. And why do we have to look out for apostolic doctrine? Can't a preacher of the gospel today just innovate and come up with a different message tailored to this generation? Can we find a preacher of the gospel today? Can we find a preacher of the gospel today who has a message that is so relevant to us today? The question is this. Is the gospel that was taught or proclaimed by Jesus and his apostles irrelevant to us today? No. Hebrews in chapter 13, look at this carefully. There will never be a need to find a different gospel for this generation or a different message for this generation, because the message of Christ and his apostles are always relevant in every generation. Hebrews 13, praise God. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Bible says, remember, oh, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then he says in verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that he had be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. The reason why he wants you to bear in mind that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever is because he wants you to realize that because Jesus is the same, his doctrine, his message will always be the same. Hallelujah. So you see that there's a link. Let me say that again. The reason why the writer of Hebrews rather wants you to bear in mind that Jesus is the same today and forever is because he was about to connect that to doctrine. He was about to connect that with his message. Because Jesus is the same, his message will not change. Hallelujah. The times are changing, the world is changing, but Jesus is not changing, and his message is also not changing. His message is unchangeable. So we have an unchanging word in an unchanging word in an ever-changing world. Praise God. An unchanging message in an ever-changing world. So the world is changing, but the word is the same. Hallelujah. I would say it's forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So we've said so much about apostolic doctrine. You need to look out for what the apostles taught and how they taught it. Today, I want to address two things. Hallelujah. And the first one is, we've seen apostolic doctrine, apostolic explanation. I want to talk about apostolic emphasis. In looking out for a sound ministry gift, I must verify that the man teaches apostolic doctrine and explains those things the way they're explained in scriptures. The third thing is, I must also look out for apostolic emphasis. What are the things being emphasized in that ministry? Praise God. And this is very critical, because today we have a lot of Christians or believers who are swayed because somebody somewhere is saying something that sounds like truth. Hallelujah. Somebody somewhere is sounding like a new creation reality preacher. Somebody somewhere is sounding like he believes in the gospel and he preaches the gospel. Amen. Somebody somewhere says Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. And then that just gets your attention. And you're like, wow, this is a preacher of truth. And, you know, you're very, very impressed. It's good. But you know what? It's not enough to have somebody, you know, sound right once in a while. It's about having the kind of emphasis that the apostles had. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we have people who preach apostolic doctrine without apostolic emphasis. We have people who preach apostolic doctrine mixed and, you know, sandwiched with, you know, amongst many things, ideologies and philosophies of men. Hallelujah. We have people who pick some things from the scriptures that are truths and then stretch them beyond the scope of how those things are taught and emphasized in scriptures. Hallelujah. And for me, those are more dangerous because they can show you from scriptures, they can, you know, they can substantiate their claims from the Bible and say, see, the apostles taught this. And then you're like, wow, that's true. But then you are not able to discern because you are not conversant with how the apostles emphasized or how they taught those things. Hallelujah. So no minister of the gospel, listen, no minister of the gospel is meant to have an emphasis beyond that which the apostles had. Amen. You are not meant to have an emphasis beyond what they had. Hallelujah. And when there's an undue emphasis, it's impossible to produce mature Christians. Because there's a reason why certain things were emphasized the way they were emphasized, and there's a reason why certain things were de-emphasized in scriptures. You see, that's the approach that bets spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. When we emphasize the things that are not emphasized, and we de-emphasize the things that are not emphasized in scriptures, there's a problem. What bets spiritual maturity is the right emphasis, emphasizing the things that are emphasized in scriptures, and de-emphasizing the things that are not emphasized in the Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, here's what I'm trying to say. Here's the picture I'm trying to paint. How much emphasis does the message of Christ's death and resurrection carry in scriptures? How much emphasis do we have on a walk in love? How much emphasis do we have on holiness? How much emphasis do we have on the doctrine of righteousness? How much emphasis do we have on the grace of God? How much emphasis do we have on, you know, Christian service? How much emphasis do we have on ministry in scriptures? How much emphasis do we have on demons? How much emphasis do we have on the devil? What were the things said about Satan? How much emphasis do we have on praise and worship? How much emphasis do we have on giving? Praise God. You see, because it's truth and it's the right thing, does not mean we must stretch it beyond its emphasis in scriptures. You know, you can't just begin to teach giving and then teach giving to a point where it's as though it's a year of giving. Do you understand? You teach giving to a point where we are lost. How much emphasis does giving carry in scriptures? How much emphasis do we have on forgiveness? Hallelujah. Forgiveness from God to us and then forgiveness from, you know, ourselves to others. How much emphasis? How much emphasis do we have on marriage in the scriptures? Hallelujah. These are very vital things. So a minister of the gospel must not just strive to preach the truth, must not just strive to preach apostolic doctrine. He must also strive to have apostolic emphasis. This is very important. Hallelujah. How many things were said about prosperity? Is that enough for me to build a ministry on prosperity? How many things were said on concerning being a citizen of the nation, being a citizen of the nation and your duties as a citizen? How many things were said concerning the government of the land? Do you understand that these things were mentioned in the Bible does not give us the right to have an emphasis beyond how they were emphasized in the Bible? And I feel bad. I feel sorry. Today, it is one of the major pitfalls in ministry. Hallelujah. It's one of the major pitfalls in ministry. There are people who are preaching outright falsehood. There are people who are preaching what can be referred to as the truth, but then in a very lopsided manner. emphases that are not found in scriptures. So again, I'm going to say it's not just enough that we have apostolic doctrine. We must also have apostolic emphasis. Praise God. We must be able to emphasize the things the apostles emphasized and de-emphasize the things that they de-emphasized. That's the only thing that makes sense. Amen. And so that means no minister of the gospel must have a favorite truth. Hallelujah. A favorite truth. If you look through scriptures, you discover that the apostles, Jesus Christ himself, and the apostles never had a favorite truth, something they were known for. Hallelujah. As is common in our own day, you find somebody say, my ministry is a healing ministry. In this church, in this ministry, what we do is just teach healing. Just teach healing and all of that. You don't find that kind of emphasis in the Bible. Another person says, our ministry is to teach faith. And what they mean by faith is not even faith for salvation. It is faith for receiving things, the kind of mountain-moving faith, faith that commands results and all that. So you don't find that kind of emphasis in the Bible either. Some say, my ministry is to teach marriage. Our ministry is for teaching marriage. So the trust of our ministry is to raise married people, is to raise, people who are successful in marriage, people who know how to do life together in marriage. And it's, God, that's funny. Hallelujah. That's so funny because you won't find that kind of emphasis in the scriptures. There's nothing like a marriage ministry in the Bible. That's the same way we don't have a ministry that is focused on prayer. Some folks will say our ministry, the aim of our ministry and the goal of our ministry is to raise prayer warriors. And that's what you do as a church. You won't be able to raise rounded believers. You won't be able to raise effective believers focusing on an aspect of the gospel. Glory to Jesus. You know, the apostles will say, Acts 6:8, it says, it is not good for us to neglect the word of God and serve tables. We give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayers, or to prayer and the ministry of the word. It is not prayer ministry. It is the ministry of the word and prayers. Hallelujah. So the same way you don't have a deliverance ministry. Say, in this ministry, all we do is to deliver people. Deliver people from what? The gospel itself is deliverance. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. And if you are referring to deliverance, if your idea of deliverance is casting out demons, that's not exclusive to any church or any ministry. Jesus has commanded his church, the whole body of believers, to go out there and cast out devils. Mark 16, from verse 15 to 16, and then 17. Bible says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You see that Jesus has authorized his church to cast out devils. If that's what you refer to as deliverance, then Jesus already authorized us as a church to go deliver men. You see that this ministry of deliverance, in quotes, is not separate from the ministry of preaching the gospel. So you can't have a deliverance ministry. Jesus has sent us to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So there's no point having a particular aspect of the gospel as the ministry or as an emphasis of the church. Glory to God. Some even say that their ministry is meant to raise businessmen. Hallelujah. A gospel that is centered around business. Raising men who are prosperous in business. You don't find that in the Bible. Praise God. You don't find that in the Bible. Those are man-made emphases. And like I said yesterday, a lot of people are already building sects in the body. Sects. People following their kind of ministry, their kind of message, following their kind of emphasis. Things not found in the Bible. Praise God. Some even say that their ministry is meant for raising, men who are going to build the nation. Nation builders. Hallelujah. You see, this makes no sense in the light of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. Ministry gifts are sent for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Guess what? People have redefined what the ministry is. Hallelujah. You see, once you get into one error, you're going to get into many more errors. Because you have to keep inventing more lies and falsehood to defend one. Hallelujah. You have to keep inventing many more lies to defend one lie. So in a bid to have different emphasis and different messages and favorite truths, people have redefined what the ministry is. So it is no longer about the ministry of the gospel. or ministry of reconciliation, or ministering to one another as one body, or ministering unto God via songs and praises and giving him the fruit of our lips. Ministry has now become anything you find your hand doing. Praise God. So you can have a man who goes to bank, works in the bank, or a man who works in the hospital as a doctor, you know, medics. That's your own ministry. We look at a man who plays football and we say that is his own ministry. We look at a man who is passionate about, that's another angle, whatever you are passionate about. Somebody who is passionate about NGOs, reaching out to the less privileged, say, that's your ministry. But that's very funny. We know that ministry is not anything found outside Christ. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17, very clear. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry we have in Christ Jesus came through the reconciliation we have received in him. Hallelujah. So just as we became new creatures in him, we found a new purpose for living. That ministry is found in Christ. Hallelujah. Everywhere you find the word ministry used in the Bible, in the New Testament, it is nothing about the secular. It is not about that which you can do without the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Banking cannot be your ministry because you can excel in banking without having the Spirit of Christ. Praise God. Someone says, well, what they really mean is that that's a platform for you to do your ministry. What if the bank sacks you? Hallelujah. That's a platform to do your ministry. What if you were out of your job today? Would your ministry end? Jesus is not relying on secular platforms to, you know, make us effective in ministry. The ministry has been given to you and you don't need any secular platform to discharge your duties. The ministry is simple. Go into the world and preach. You can do it in your house, by the roadside, on your way to work, out of work. You can do it anywhere. As long as there are men, as long as there are men on the streets, in their houses, as long as there are men, you have neighbors, you have friends, colleagues. Anywhere men are, you can discharge your duty as a minister of the gospel. Praise God. So whether they preach it as a platform for ministry or as the ministry itself, it's still faulty. Praise God. It's still faulty. We don't need any platform outside the obedience required of us to go out and preach before we can fulfill our ministries. Hallelujah. We don't need that. The early church was not teaching platforms for ministry. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that though they were in business and they had their secular careers, they were not emphasizing platforms for ministry? Those secular careers as your platform for ministry, they simply obeyed God. They went everywhere and preached the gospel. Hallelujah. They went everywhere and preached the gospel. Glory to God. So today we don't need platforms for ministry. By this, I'm not saying you can't preach at your workplace, but your workplace is not the platform. Do you understand? It should be seen just as preaching the gospel on the street. It should be seen just as preaching the gospel in the bus. It should be seen just as preaching the gospel anywhere at all. There's no particular platform for ministry. All that God requires of you is that you have a willing heart to preach at every given opportunity. Glory to God. So we don't have any special emphasis. Any emphasis that is beyond that of the apostles. We don't have any favorite truth. We must preach the gospel in its entirety. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. Acts of Apostles chapter 20. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 20 from verse 24. Oh, hallelujah. From verse 24 down to verse 27. Listen carefully. Bible says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Verse 27, very key. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. So there was no favorite truth in the ministry of Paul. Hallelujah. The entirety of the gospel. The whole counsel of God. Amen. And then you discover that even instructions concerning marriage, instructions concerning business, finance, money and all those things. You know, those instructions are not things you can build a ministry on exclusively. Hallelujah. You can't, from the instructions given to married people, build a marriage ministry. You would have to go beyond the things they said. Hallelujah. Because not much was said to the married. Love for one another, submission in marriage, fidelity, who to marry. You know, you must marry a man who is a Christian. Come to the Corinthians. You know, the issues that Paul addressed in the Corinthian church. Is it good for a woman to touch a man to touch a woman? He says it's not bad. Yeah, you know, guard yourself from sexual immorality. Those are the things. Not much is said. Praise God. There is more to marriage than what the apostles taught concerning marriage. So you find them give instructions to the married who to marry. That is, you have to marry somebody who is a Christian. One of the issues he addressed in the Corinthian church. Is it good for a man to touch a woman? Paul addressed that. You know, look at those kind of questions. Many of us are not even asking such questions today. Paul addressed that because they asked those questions. So he addressed it. Marry somebody who is in the Lord. It is not bad for a man to touch a woman. Then he goes on to address issue of love and submission. General instructions, issue of fidelity in marriage. Do you understand? General instructions. They were not saying everything there is to marriage. You know, because in the first instance, marriage is not spiritual. I know many times when people hear things like this, they want to, you know, call for the head of the person making the statement. But that's the truth. Marriage is not spiritual. If marriage were to be spiritual, then unbelievers who are unspiritual should not be getting married. Praise God. They shouldn't be able to get married because it's against their nature. But the reason why they can get married is because marriage itself is not spiritual. The only spiritual marriage that exists is the marriage or the union between the church and Christ. Hallelujah. Marriage between man and woman is natural. It is earthly. Praise God. That's why it is one flesh. Union with Christ is one spirit. Glory to God. So, the apostles were not writing everything there is to be understood about marriage because marriage is natural. So, Paul was not teaching from his experiences. You know, he didn't get married. Do you understand? So, he wasn't writing from his experience. He was writing things that are general admonitions for everybody. Love. Praise God. Love, submission, fidelity, whom to marry. Do you understand? You should marry a fellow believer. And that, I mean, that's just it. Praise God. There are many aspects of marriage that you learn on the job. Amen. I feel sorry for people who go and read books on how to please a woman. How to please a woman. Well, you read a book on how to please a woman, but that woman you read about is not your woman. Praise God. It is when you get married, you discover that women are not the same. People always say that thing. Every woman is the same. Oh, you will soon omato ye. Praise God. That not all women are the same. Not all men are the same. People have their taste, different preferences. You will have to learn from your spouse that which pleases them. Praise God. You can see, this thing I'm saying to you, you can write it down. You have to learn from your spouse, even if you have been in courtship without getting married. You should understand what I'm saying. That you would have to understand from your spouse, from your own spouse, that which appeals to them. Lest you shock yourself. After reading a manual on how to please a woman, you discover that you've not started. Praise God. So, there are many things that the Bible does not dabble into because those are things you learn on your own. You learn by experience. You learn by paying attention to your spouse, by paying attention to your loved one. Glory to God. So, we can't build a marriage ministry on the things that the apostles taught about marriage. There are many things about marriage that you will learn in the marriage. Praise God. And you see, listen, what I'm about to say now, listen, that means you can listen to people who have experiences in marriage. Praise God. I'm not talking about pastors now. They don't have to be pastors. Anybody at all that has some experience in marriage that's going to add. Just like Paul gives instruction in the book of Titus. Look at this. Titus chapter 2. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 2 verse 3. Bible says, the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So, older women, those who have been married for years, for longer time, you know, can admonish the younger ones. Praise God. You know, it wasn't saddling Titus, the pastor, with this responsibility at all. Praise God. So you see, there are many more things you learn about marriage from people who are experienced in marriage. And I hope you notice that it wasn't giving them that instruction to take it up as their own ministry. Praise God. That is, in relationship with one another, they are able to teach the younger women how to be good wives. Praise God. See, many things would be learned from those who are experienced in such things. Hallelujah. It's the same with business. Do you understand? If you learn how to do business from somebody who has done business successfully, you'll be a success in business, most likely. That's why the instructions on business in the Bible, in the New Testament, are not on, you know, are not things pertaining to how to do business. Praise God. It deals with believers' conduct in business. A spiritual man going into the business world, how to conduct himself in that sphere, in that environment, or in that setting. Praise God. So you don't find teachings on how to do business. You find teachings on how to conduct yourself in business. The same thing with marriage. I just picked on those two particular things. So we can't build ministry on a favorite truth and then have some things that were said sparingly in scriptures and then build an emphasis on them and say, this is our own ministry. No way. We must have apostolic emphasis. I was very shocked to find that people were writing Bibles on different ideologies. I've come across a leadership Bible before. What is that? Leadership Bible. What? The Bible is not centered around leadership. If there's anything or anyone the Bible is centered around, it's Christ. So, how about a Christ-centered Bible? Because that is what the Bible is. Jesus walked them through all the scriptures and expounded to them the things concerning himself. Luke 24:27. He didn't walk them through scriptures to expound to them the things concerning leadership. Not every aspect of the Bible deals with leadership. In the New Testament, for instance, the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, we have 1 Peter 5, we have Acts 20. Praise God. Not many things were said about leadership in all the epistles, but we have certain books dedicated to instructing the leader on how to administer the church. Reading through the book of Acts also, you can see some places where the apostles acted as leaders in resolving matters. Glory to God. So you can't have a leadership Bible. It doesn't make sense. Just as you cannot have a ministry emphasizing leadership, teaching leadership. That's not the gospel. Hallelujah. So we have to watch out for undue emphasis, wrong emphasis, things that are not emphasized in the Bible. Believe me, this is one of the ways the enemy is shortchanging many from making progress spiritually. Hallelujah. If you do not yield yourself to the right emphasis, you will not grow in the faith as you ought to. What brings spiritual maturity and makes the man of God complete for every good work is all scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture, not some truths, not some emphasis, not a favorite truth, all scripture with the right emphasis. The things that are emphasized in the Bible must be emphasized in the church. The things de-emphasized in the Bible must be de-emphasized in the midst of us. Hallelujah. That's how men grow unto maturity. Glory to God. That's how men grow unto maturity. You can't have any emphasis separate from the emphasis found in the Bible. Glory be to God. Listen to me carefully. I'll say it again. If we do not preach the whole counsel of God, and we do not instruct men all through scriptures, showing them the truth of God's word from all the scriptures with the same kind of emphasis found in the ministry of the apostles, we are not going to produce mature believers. We're going to raise very lopsided believers, men who are not growing in the faith. Hallelujah. And that's the reason why when you find somebody who follows a ministry that has a favorite truth as an emphasis, you discover that such a man will seem to be so vast in that aspect of the faith and very deficient in many other things. Hallelujah. I know people who can say so much about faith but know nothing about healing. Praise God. There are people who can say so much about healing, know nothing about salvation, which is so terrible. A believer in Christ must have a thorough grasp of every aspect of the gospel. Praise God. When we talk about faith, you should be able to explain. When we talk about healing, you should be able to explain. Forgiveness, you're able to explain. Righteousness by faith, you are there to explain. Evangelism, you are there to explain. Hallelujah. The Antichrist, you are there to explain. You have a grasp of Bible subjects. Praise God. That is spiritual growth. Not that you are so vast in one aspect and you are deficient in many other aspects. You know why this is bad? One aspect of the gospel cannot mature you. Praise God. You will need other aspects of the gospel at different points in your life. Amen. So you learn so much about eternal salvation, you know nothing about healing. The day you fall sick, it is a knowledge of healing that will bail you out. And then you have nothing about it. Imagine that. You know so much about healing, but you don't know how to evangelize. And that's the reason why you run from evangelism. You know so much about evangelism, but you know nothing about praying for the sick. Do you understand? It's bad. So it is all scripture that is able to make us complete for every good work. Hallelujah.
Wow, time is gone. I've not even touched the second thing I want to address today. So that means we have to extend the teaching. Praise God. However, in the next podcast, I want to address another major danger of holding on to favorite truths. Hallelujah. Another major danger of holding on to favorite truths. Then I'll address the second thing I set out to address in this teaching also. So that's it for today. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, relatives, colleagues. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.